Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 12. Would you look there with me this morning? Ephesians chapter 1, verse number 12, down through verse 23. Then we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ, in whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, after that ye believed, ye were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance, until the redemption of the purchased possession, unto the praise of his glory. Wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus, and love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, that that the eyes of your understanding might be enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principalities and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come, and hath put all things under his feet, and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. Could we just talk a few minutes this morning about the working of his mighty power? Glory to God. Amen. To talk about the power of God. As a matter of fact, when you read your Bible, the Bible is just the story of God's power being revealed in the lives of his people. From Genesis to Revelation, it is the story of God showing his power on behalf of his people in so many ways. And actually, starting off with creation, you see the mighty hand of God, and that God, through just his words, spoke the worlds into existence. Jeremiah said it this way, Jeremiah 32 and 17. O Lord God, behold, thou hast made the heaven and the earth by thy great power and stretched out arm, and there is nothing too hard for thee. So all of creation, just looking at creation, is a reminder to us of the power of God, and that nothing is too difficult for the Lord. Everything was created that was created was a mighty show of his power. And it was all for you and for me. He gave to you and me, gave to all mankind dominion over all the earth, over all the creation. He gave to us dominion over it. He had us in mind, even in the creation of our world that we live in. Psalm 19, it says, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. Day unto day uttereth speech, and night unto night showeth knowledge. Not verbally, but whether you're in a metropolitan area in the United States, or you're in some village in some third world country, you can look up into the heavens, and the heavens are talking. The heavens are speaking to everyone, no matter who they are, or how far removed they are from the true and the living God. All of creation is speaking. It's uttering the truth of God's power and his creative power. It all is a revelation. It says there is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. There's no place on this planet that the creation isn't crying out to all of mankind that I am the God, and I am in charge of everything, and I am the creator, and I am all powerful. Glory be to God. And that's the way he's worked. As I said, it's the Bible is the story of God's working power among his people. Just look at the deliverance of the children of Israel from Egypt. that God miraculously set them free after 400 years. He raised up a deliverer in Moses and set them free from the bondage of Egypt, led them out miraculously through the Red Sea, provided for them water out of the rock, manna out of heaven every day. God divinely provided for them in everything. A cloud by day and a fire by night to direct them and to lead them. Every step of the way, every day of their life, they witnessed the power of God at work in their life. Sad to say, they were complainers and murmurers. Even though God was providing what they had need of, they still found something to gripe about. God help us to never fall prey to that kind of a spirit that complains in the when God is providing everything that we could ever have need of. Amen. You may have said, or there may be some of you today saying, I've really never seen the power of God before. Well, let's just stop a minute then. I want you to take one good breath right now with me. Come on. You've just witnessed the power of God. Because God created man out of the dust of the earth. He breathed into his nostrils and he became a living soul. And you're breathing, and every breath that you breathe is a demonstration of the mighty power of God in your behalf. Hallelujah. How about a Bible? A lot of you have a Bible in your hands. This Bible is a miracle book. Amen. It's miraculous. It's even miraculous in the fact that we have it. We possess it in our hands today. 66 books written over 4,000 years by several hundred different authors from different parts of the known world at that time, and different backgrounds. Some of them were fishermen and uneducated. Others of them were prophets, and others of them kings and different. But God put it all together, divinely created the word of truth, the word of God. God anointed men of old by the Spirit of God, and they wrote inspired of the Holy Ghost. And we have the word of God today. And it's a miracle. And it's a living book, because this book, the prophecies of this book, some of them have been fulfilled. Others of them are being fulfilled. Even as we're alive today, we can witness the fulfilling of God's word right before our eyes. It was preserved and protected down through the centuries, through those who hated it, that wanted to stamp it out, who wanted to keep men from ever being able to have it. But it has been preserved divinely down through the centuries. And today, we're here in the house of God, giving glory to God, and we're teaching and preaching from the word of God. Hallelujah. So you have witnessed the power of God. That's just a couple of examples of the way that God works in our lives. But you know, there is a present day, I'm talking about a right now, today, way that God wants to reveal himself. Many ways he will reveal himself by his power. But he wants to reveal himself in our lives, in our church, through bringing men and women into the kingdom of God. Now, there's been a lot of events that I guess we could say were the greatest unleashing of power in the earth. And if I ask you that question, what do you know of what event in our world or in the history of our world was the greatest unleashing of power? You might think of the bombs that were dropped on Japan at the close of World War II. Great power in those atomic bombs that were dropped. Or you might think of earthquakes or volcanoes or hurricanes or other types of events that have happened that you can see that they were of great power. But the mightiest power, the greatest power ever unleashed on this world and on this earth, was when Jesus Christ was raised from the grave. The greatest power, because see, all of hell backed and surrounded that event to try to stop it, because Satan and all of hell knew that if Jesus came out of the tomb, that all that they were attempting to do was going to fail utterly. So I'm convinced that Satan brought together all the forces of hell, everything that he could possibly get together to stop Jesus from coming out of that tomb. But we know that he could not be held in the tomb. Praise God. Glory to God. So the mightiest power of God ever unleashed upon this planet was when Jesus came forth out of the tomb, victorious over death, hell, and the grave. And then he gave to you and me that same power in the outpouring of the Spirit of God on the day of Pentecost. And to the church, he has given to us this same power in our lives if we would but just believe. Amen. Glory to God. Let me go back to a verse of scripture. I read this, but I want to read it again because this is a verse packed full. Verse 19. Let me read 18 and 19. That the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. What is the exceeding greatness of his power to us, word, who believe according to the working of his mighty power. This is a part of the prayer that Paul started praying there. He said, I don't cease to pray for you. I'm always praying for you, talking to the Christians at Ephesus. He said, I cease not to give thanks and to make mention of you in my prayers. You know, there are at least four prayers that Paul prayed while he was in prison that are written in the prison epistles. In each one of those prayers, he did not ask for personal needs. He did not ask God to get him out of prison. He never asked for material needs. All of his prayers were for the disciples, the convert, his converts. Even for them, he didn't pray for their material needs. He prayed for them that their spiritual senses, their spiritual sensitivity might be aware of all of the wealth and the riches and the great blessing that was available to them if they would just realize how spiritually rich that they were. Amen. We've said this a lot lately. The church is living way below our privilege, way below what God has given to us. I think it was William Randolph Hearst, who was a wealthy newspaper publisher, and he was also a collector of a lot of artwork from all around the world. And you know, when you got a lot of money and you run out of things to buy, you just start buying pictures from all over the world. And I guess that's what he was doing. And so there was one particular piece that he wanted. He did not know where it was at, so he hired an agent who could travel around the world and search for it. And almost a year later, the agent returned to him and he said, do you know, I have found the treasure that you sent me for. And Hearst was so happy that it was found. And he said, oh, where did you have to travel to find this collector's piece? He said, well, I looked all over the world and then I came back to the States and I searched through your warehouses and there it was in your warehouse. He already owned it. He didn't even know it. It was already his and he didn't even know it. He was desiring something that was already his possession. That kind of illustrates the shape we're in the church world today. All the wonderful things that belong to us, all the wonderful promises that are ours through Jesus Christ, all the great power, all the great benefits that are ours because of Jesus Christ. But yet, we're living below our privilege. We're living without this wonderful dynamic power of the Spirit of God at work in our lives. Amen. Do you know that God can awaken people to their need for him? The work of salvation is probably the greatest miracle that could ever take place whenever a person gets truly, truly born again. And that's what we pray will happen in the lives of those that are blinded in their sin and are away from God, that God would awaken them. I believe I'd love to see a lot of miracles. I'd love to see healings and demonstrations of the power of God. And God works in those ways. He has a lot of ways to show his power. But the greatest miracle is when people start turning their life over to Jesus Christ and he comes and they are born again of the Spirit and their life is miraculously changed. Praise God. Amen. Praise the Lord. God can do that. God can do that to the person that you know of that is the furthest away from him, the most resistant to God, the most hard-hearted, the most impossible person. God can break through to them and awaken them. He has ways of speaking to their hearts. Our lesson in Sunday school was about Nebuchadnezzar, the terrible predicament that he was in after his pride brought him under the judgment. 12 months he spends like a wild man out there till finally he wakes up and he looks up to God and he recognizes God is truly who he is. This truly is the living God. And he turns toward the Lord and he humbles himself under the true God. And God brought that man who was probably the most proud man in the world, at least at that time. And God turned his heart around and brought him back to his kingdom and restored him to his kingdom. Do you understand with me this morning that God can do a mighty work, a supernatural work, whereby people can be really born again? That is the working of the power of God. When God can step into the life of someone that does not know God and can change their life. Praise the Lord. The scripture says here, this power which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in heavenly places. So he raised him from the dead and that he positioned him at the highest place in the universe, in control. Praise God. Far above, it says, far above all principalities and power and might and dominion. Praise God. I know that something like 20 leaders of the world, G20 conference, or whatever they called it, was over in Europe this week. All these powerful leaders of the world get together. Jesus Christ has been positioned above all of them. Amen. All of them. They may have great power. They may have great influence in the world. And certainly they do. But Jesus Christ has been positioned at a place of power far above all principalities and powers and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in the world that is to come. Praise God. That's Jesus. Not only did he come victorious out of the tomb, resurrected from the dead, but he's been positioned over everyone in power and control. He is the one that's in control today. Tell me, is there something too hard for God in your life? Is there something going on in your life today that you've just thought, this can't be changed, this won't be changed, there's no hope for this person or this circumstance? Well, you forgot about what the Bible says then. What you need is your eyes to be enlightened. You need your eyes to be opened up to the reality of who Jesus is. You need to have an understanding of his mighty power and his mighty works among men. You need to have an understanding that death couldn't hold him back. You need to be reminded that he's in a position now, placed there by God, over everyone and all powers. There's no one that has no more power or authority than our Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. So don't tell me that there's someone that Jesus can't break through to, because that's just not the truth. Amen. They may be hardened and rebellious. They may be determined to go their own way, away from God, uninterested in things of God. But as you lay hold of the promise of God, I want you to be encouraged this morning to know that God can wake them up. God can bring them to their senses. God has the power and the authority to work in their life and to bring them to a place that they will cry out to God for help. Hallelujah. Yesterday when Zach was writhing about in the bed with a kidney stone, some of you have had kidney stones. I didn't know that he had a kidney stone at the time. I didn't know what was going on. He was climbing out of the bed. They had to bring two security guards in to hold him in the bed. They stayed in the room with him for about 4 or 5 hours until they got him sedated enough that he would calm down. I'm telling you, during that time, he was saying, God, help me. God, help me. God, help me. God can put you in a position where you're asking God for help. God can put you in a situation where you have to say, Lord, he was saying, Dad, would you pray? Dad, pray for me. Pray for me. And I was praying. I was asking God. And I knew there's a lot of other people that was praying for him. But I want you to know God's at work. And his mighty power is at work. And he is on the throne far above principalities and powers and all dominions. He's working and he's moving. And he's moving in behalf of those that you're praying for too. Amen. And you're going to see his mighty hand working in that situation. Amen. And what I long to see is not someone come to the altar and just say, yeah, I believe, I believe, I believe, I believe. What good is that? It's a good step, I guess. But even the devils believe and they tremble. Believing is not what we want. That's not what we need. We need to see God's hand on a person's life, transforming them, changing them. We want to see the evidence that they have been truly born again of the Spirit of God. Amen. Amen. Well, we want to see people. I know there's a lot of people in the church world today that are saying, I believe, and they worship, and they're, you know, and I'm glad I'm not their judge. God's the one that's going to straighten it all out at the judgment day. But I do know this. There is a reality in the born-again experience. There's something real about really getting saved, where you have a change of mind, and you're turned around, and there's a transformation that takes place in you, and you begin to follow God, and you love the things of God, and it's obvious that you have been born again. Amen. Let me just give you a few evidences of a person that's been born again from 1 John. The person that gets born again, first of all, begins believing upon the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. 1 John 5:1. Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. Amen. That's where you get started. Amen. You believe. You put your trust in him. You put your confidence in him and you believe in him. And then you begin to practice righteousness. That just means you start living right. Amen. To the best of your ability, the best of your knowledge. Righteousness. Everyone that doeth righteousness is born of him. You can't live a righteous life in your own power. You can't do the right things in your own power. There has to be something take place in your heart, in your spirit, a transformation in your life that changes you and gives you a desire, a hunger, and not only a desire to do right, but the power to do the right thing. Amen. So a person starts by putting their faith in Jesus Christ and believing upon him, and then they begin to follow righteousness, follow after righteousness. They love the commandments of God. They no longer see the commandments as grievous or a problem to them, but instead they have a desire to follow God instead of their own desires and their own wishes. Amen. Then they start loving people and loving believers. What I've learned about people are not serving the Lord is they don't want to really get around Christian people too much. Maybe just a little bit. But they don't want to get around Christian people too much because they just don't feel comfortable about people that are really born again. Amen. But when you get saved, then that's really all you want to do. You just want to get around people that believe God's word. You want to be around people that know the things of God and are living for God. And you know, 1 John 3:14, you know that you have passed from death unto life because you love the brethren. Amen. There's been such a change that the people that you used to, you know, you just wanted to avoid them. But now that you're born again, you want to be around brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus. Amen. Because you have been really born again. Amen. Not only that, but it changes your attitude toward the world. Toward the world and the ways of the world and the things of this world. Whosoever is born of God overcometh the world. 1 John 5:4. You no longer live to follow after the standards of the world and the ways of the world.
what the world says is right and wrong, but now you're following after God. And you're not interested in what the world says important. You're interested in what God is doing in your life. Praise God. Person that gets born again, he stops sinning. Amen. He gets out of the sin business. Amen. You say, yeah, but nobody's perfect. I didn't say you would never, ever fail or make a mistake from time to time. Hopefully, the times that you do will get fewer and fewer and fewer. I understand that we're still in the flesh and that we may make a mistake along the way. But by and large, if you're born again, you just get out of the sinning business. And you get away from things that might would pull you or attract you in that direction. If it seems to be something that distracts you from the things of God and pulls you away from God, you just move away from those things. Whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin. Can't get any plainer than that. 1 John 3:9. Amen. And one more evidence that you've been born again. And that is that you are striving to be pure. You're striving to keep yourself pure. 1 John 5:8. Amen. You're avoiding sin and you're pursuing the things of God. You want to be like Jesus. You want to develop His character in your life. You want to get closer to Him. And I know that a lot of people use that cliche, well, if you get too holy, you won't be any too good in the world. You'll be holier than thou. I tell you what, we need to be holier than a lot of people. We better do better than what some are doing. Amen. Amen. We need to be reaching and striving to be more like Him, more like Him, and living in such a way. And so the cliche don't work in the kingdom of God. Amen. That you're so holy that you're no good in this world. I believe that the holier you are, the more benefit that you'll be to the kingdom of God, and the more benefit that you'll be in this world. Amen. Hallelujah. Why is it that Christians and the church have become a mockery in our world today? And I know that a lot of it has to do with the fact that Satan just hates the church and anything that has to do with God or the things of God. But also, we've given him a lot of reasons to make a mockery of the church and to blaspheme as David did. We've given reason to blaspheme. Because of our weak faith, because of our worldliness, because of our love for the things of this life, from our lack of desire for God and the things of God and the Word of God. Amen. Now this power of God, this mighty working of the power of God can come into the life of the worst sinner. Just think about it now. Just to remind you, this guy hated the church. He had power and authority to destroy the church, and he was doing it as hard as he could. He was murdering Christians. He was destroying the church in every way that he could. He was accusing them of wrongdoing, and he was getting authority to do it, religious authority to do it. He was a murderer. He was a liar and a blasphemer. He was a wicked, wicked man. His name was Saul. And somehow, the Spirit of God got a hold of him, chased him and convicted him. He became like a madman, running from every village and city, searching and trying to do what he thought was right, but yet he was under such a heavy conviction. Finally, on the road to Damascus, he saw the Lord. Amen. Praise God. He had that wonderful encounter with Jesus Christ, which we all need to have. Yours might not be quite as dramatic as his was, but you need to have an encounter with Jesus. Amen. And be born again of the Spirit of God. Amen. And let the Lord change you. That's the greatest miracle. That's the greatest working of the mighty power of God, when he comes into the life of a sinner and he makes him into a saint. Praise God. Hallelujah. He can do that. He can do that this morning. Amen. If you'll open up your heart to the Lord. Amen. Glory to God. Let's stand together. Father, thank you for the promise of God. And we know, Lord, that you're working in our world today to deal with sinners, to draw them into the kingdom. Lord, we thank you for your mighty power that's at work on behalf of those, Lord, that we're praying for, our lost loved ones and family, those, Lord, that you have put on our hearts, Lord, that are in such need. Lord, give to them, I pray, a great spiritual awakening. And Lord, demonstrate your power and change their mind and their heart and their direction, and do a mighty transformation in their life, Lord. Do it for your glory, Lord. Do it, Lord, in such a mighty way that it'll be evident that only you could do it. Praise God. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Glory be to God. Amen.